Mark Johnson is a Grammy-winning producer, engineer, and award-winning film director, whose visionary concept a decade ago became the driving force behind Playing for Change. He has been a featured guest on Bill Moyers' Journal, The Colbert Report. He has been a keynote speaker at the United Nations, TED Global, World Economic Forums in Davos, Colombia, Brazil, Mexico, and it goes on and on. And now, in the culmination of his career, he joins us on the Roadhouse. Mark, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor. Believe me, it's an honor to have you here because it's 2 or 3 years ago now, a friend emailed me and with a link to YouTube and said, you have got to see this video. And it was the Stand By Me video, which, if I'm not mistaken, was the first one that you did as for Playing for Change.
Right.
And it absolutely blew me away.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I downloaded it through iTunes. I have listened to it at least and watched it at least 100 times. Every time I see it, it's brand new for me. And it is amazing. Now, after seeing that, I guess, and having seen the Bill Moyers interview, I have to admit it wasn't until today that I saw the Colbert interview, and that must have been an interesting experience. But I found out, though, that a lot of people, believe it or not, don't know what Playing for Change is. Tell us what Playing for Change is.
Right. Well, Playing for Change is a movement of people all over the world that just believe no matter how many things divide us, they're never as strong as the things that bring us together. So we're out here making positive connections around the world and building a family through music, the one thing that speaks to everybody.
How did you get the idea to do this, though? I mean, you on the original Stand By Me, I believe there were 30-some artists that were on that from I don't know how many different countries. But what gave you the idea to pull something like this together?
Well, I mean, the first idea came in New York City. I was on my way to work as a recording engineer, and I was in a subway station, and I saw two monks painted all in white from head to toe, both of them wearing robes, and one of them was playing a nylon guitar. The other monk was singing in a language I didn't understand. But on this one day, I see everybody stop on the platform, and everybody's watching this music. Nobody gets on the train. I mean, every day there's music. Some people join, some don't. This day, everybody stopped and watched, and I looked around at all this diverse group of people, seeing that this is what brought them together. Some people smiling, other people crying and whatnot. And I took a mental picture, and I got on the train, and I went to work. And it occurred to me, you know, the best music I'd ever heard in my life was on the way to the studio, not in the studio. And that was the day I realized, you know, great music and art are everywhere. They're just moments in time. It's not just about famous people. So I figured, well, I'll bring the studio to the people and travel the world finding those moments that are really human connections. And then as the project evolved, I then was walking on the street and I heard Roger Ridley in Santa Monica, California, singing the song Stand By Me. I was a few blocks away from him, but the guy had so much soul. You know, I ran over to hear the performance and I just said to him, hey, you know, if I come back with some recording equipment and cameras, I'd love to record you and film you playing Stand By Me, travel around the world, put headphones on musicians, add them to the track. And, you know, he looked at me like I was crazy. But he said, if you come back, I'll play the song. And that's really where it all began, you know. And I said to Roger, with a voice like yours, why are you singing on the street? And he said, because, man, I'm in the joy business. I come out to bring joy to people. And that was really the start of the Playing for Change project, a man in the joy business singing Stand By Me.
You have, you mentioned you're a music engineer. You have worked with really some big artists, the likes of Ricky Lee Jones, Jackson Browne, Paul Simon, Taj Mahal, it goes on. I mean, I have to assume you have a pretty good job, you make a pretty good living. I also have to assume when you embarked on this project, the pay wasn't all that great.
Right. Yeah, you know, but it's important to realize that any true project, if you're going to choose music as your path or art, it's got to be about the music first, never the money first. And for me, you know, the music was always the driving force, those moments that you can't buy, when you get to see all these musicians play and people connect and see kids smile. And, you know, that's to me more important. So that was always really what was going to drive me.
On the Stand By Me CD and also the video, you mentioned I'm sorry, I blanked on his name now, from Santa Monica. But
Roger Ridley.
Roger Ridley. You had people from New Orleans. You had people, a singer from the Netherlands. You had a concert, I don't know if it was a bassist or cellist, from Russia.
Yeah.
How did you go about and how did you envision this? I mean, all these artists, people should know, aren't together in one room. They're all playing the same song or singing that song on different instruments in different parts of the world, and you recorded them wherever they were, literally in some cases in their backyard with their kids, and then put it all together. I mean, it must have been a phenomenal... How long did the project take you?
Well, you know, and we're still to this day making new songs around the world, but that song took probably 3 years to make.
Wow.
Because nobody really believes you when you say what you're going to make a song around the world, so you do it in one step at a time to raise the funding. And, you know, the idea here was, listen, let's just, I mean, I could have parachuted into these places. We didn't know anybody. We would just try to pick diverse places. So we said, hey, in South Africa, they got a great Zulu choir. Let's go check out South Africa. And then let's mix that with the Soviet Union or with Russia and add musicians there that are classically trained. And just try to pick as many diverse groups of people, put them together so that people can see it doesn't matter where we come from. We all have a human connection, and music is the best tool we have.
So you didn't have particular musicians or artists in mind.
No, there
you
were
went
none.
To places. You went
know,
to
I
places in the world.
And Elliot in New Orleans, and I knew I really wanted to film him. But the driving force for New Orleans was, let's go see what happened after Hurricane Katrina, and that's when I heard Grandpa on the street singing "Amazing Grace" in a city that looked at the time very desolate and in a lot of despair. And you know, he was just a champion. He was the one out there every day, rain or shine, singing for whoever would come around. And that kind of energy has always inspired me. And so I put headphones on Grandpa, and of course he knew that song. He'd sung it 1,000 times. And, you know, it's interesting. Most people around the world did know Stand By Me, as well as One Love, which was the song we were doing at the same time from Bob Marley.
Uh-huh.
Those two songs were pretty recognizable, and that helped people kind of get into the concept. And then I would just sit down with them and play the song and say, here's what instruments you play, and let's see how we can make it fit. And, you know, there's a phenomenon that happened where people in this process end up listening more and playing less as opposed to in the studio. And what that means is that there's really no ego. You know, everybody knew that it was about something bigger than themselves, so they played accordingly. And I think that's why it has so much soul and so much space.
And power.
Because everybody's listening to each other.
Yeah, and power. I mean, that thing
power.
Just truly is amazing. Let me just be real cold here for a minute. Saying, you know, music brings us all together and, you know, connects us in ways that can't be connected and what have you. That all sounds great, Mark. But what really are you trying to accomplish with this?
Well, I mean, I think that the thing is, that when you look at the scope of life, it is very, there are a lot of factors that determine what we're going to be, how much we're going to smile, how happy we are, and how much prejudice and division we feel. And so we have tools that can help us through these things. And music is the oldest tool we invented for this. So, I mean, in a very specific way, I can use this concept and we can get Israelis and Palestinians to play together. But on a more practical level, we can also, you know, somebody can stop by, see a street musician, get inspired, come home from work, and instead of coming home maybe after a bad day, it turns it into a good day. And that changes the world. I mean, to change the world, we all need to change from the inside out. And music is the best tool we have. So it is, truly fundamentally the most positive way to make change and to connect to the rest of the world through music. So it seems simple and it seems abstract, but it's also the most practical tool, and it's very real.
Now, you talked about how long it took you to put, first of all, the Stand By Me, and on the website, playingforchange.com, you have a number of other ones, just a fantastic one from Mexico.
Mexico, Lindo.
Lindo, and all the rest of them. Large amounts of work, and I'm assuming that it's not easy to find the funding to do this. Did you ever stop and all of a sudden think, Mark, get your head out of the clouds and go back to work?
I mean, people ask me that, but the truth is, you know, when I started this project, all I see is more reasons to keep doing it. I never see any reason not to. I mean, you see, we also have now the Playing for Change Foundation. So with that project, we built 8 music schools so far around the world from scratch, all owned and operated by the communities we met throughout the travels. And, I mean, you see these kids' faces, and you say, like, well, now that I've seen them, they live with nothing. How am I going to be a part of helping them? And that adds to the motivation. And these kind of things, every time I see another musician or another community that is longing for something bigger than itself, transcendence, if you will, this is a way to be a part of something like that.
And where, you know? Whereabouts are the music schools that you've done?
Well, our first music school was in Guguletu, South Africa, which is in the middle of a million shacks, in the exact same spot where the guy is playing the upright bass in the Stand By Me video.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when we were traveling, you know, people would invite us in their homes, feed us, tell us their stories, and we said, well, we want to give something back. So they said, well, help us build music schools, help these kids that have nothing, give them a choice, give them something positive. And then because it's Playing for Change, we also work to connect all the schools together. So we built our first school in Guguletu, we have one in Ghana, we have one in Mali, Rwanda, and three in Nepal.
That's amazing.
And we just keep growing. You know, we're working on new ones in Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, back here in the United States. And then what happens is you connect all these kids and you watch prejudice and stereotypes disappear. You know, it's all about context, and this is just a positive way to see the world instead of all the negative ways that we're shown.
I want to remind our listeners, we're visiting with Mark Johnson. Mark was the driving force behind Playing for Change. He serves on the Playing for Change Foundation's board of directors and continues to record music and bring artists and musicians together. How difficult is it? I mean, and I'm going back to now. Well, the Stand By Me video, one from Mexico. You did a new one, I believe, in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is it to, and everybody's always recorded out in nature.
Everybody's always outside.
In nature. It's right. Maybe where, I know you mentioned the one in Africa, the bassist in Africa, he's surrounded by his kids behind
right.
his house, I think.
Exactly.
How difficult it is to record these people in those locales?
When you look at there's always wind and car horns and things like that. And but the more we do this, the more we realize, well, the birds are always in tune. And, you know, I think that if you put a musician in an environment where they're the most inspired, and that's what we tell everybody, where are you the most inspired to play? They feel comfortable. And when a musician feels comfortable, they play from their heart. That's what comes through the microphones. So I've gotten, obviously, a lot of experience in how to fight the wind storms and the traffic and whatever, but most of the time, we just go for it.
And how many, to date, how many different musicians have you worked with? How many different countries have you been in recording?
Right, it's up to about 1,000 musicians in about 40 different countries.
Where do you see this going, Mark? I mean, just continuing to make these and continuing to build
evolve.
Schools?
You know, there's always more musicians to record, more schools to build, more people to inspire, and we're building a family, and this kind of project is always going to be one heart, one song at a time. You know, I wish it could go faster sometimes, but the truth is this has got to be something that's really done from the integrity of humanity, and so we just keep building it until sooner or later everybody realizes that this is their family. There's no division in this project. It's for everybody. And it's about us lifting each other up. Raise the consciousness. Let's make the world better for tomorrow, today. And this project gives people that context.
Yeah, I know that you also do some benefit concerts. Some of the musicians that have appeared
right.
in the videos have done benefit concerts. Can you? And I also know that September 22nd is Playing for Change Day,
right.
where communities can come together.
That's the most exciting thing in the world, because that's September 22nd. We'll be doing it every year. And it's a chance for people, who have often said, how can we get involved? Musicians, but also just fans of music, which is basically everybody. And you end up saying, well, how can we get involved? Let's all do something on the same day. So that last year we had 45 countries, 6 continents, 250 performances on the same day. And so people go to pfcday.org. They register for an event or to support an event, much like a Walk for Breast Cancer where you can sponsor somebody.
Yep.
And the idea here is to have people play on the same day to raise money and awareness for music education around the world, but also the consciousness that comes from people doing things all over the world, being involved with people you'll never see and you'll never meet in a positive way, has a really strong impact on the future of the world. So the idea here is let's have a day where we can celebrate this concept every year. Musicians all over the world and fans of music dedicate this day to collaborating on something for music education.
So, in other words, and where we live in a very small town in northeastern Minnesota that we have an incredible number of talented musicians. We could organize a concert or something like that.
You can organize a concert. We'll promote it. We help facilitate whatever you need. We help you connect with the rest of the world, all the other people that are supporting programs and people that can help, support your event. And, oftentimes the best musicians are off the beaten path. And, so I have no doubt. The one thing, there's great thing in this world is there's great music everywhere.
Yeah, that really is true.
This is a chance for people in your town to get involved, and they'll get to see the change, too. It's a very transparent project. You play on that day. A few days later, you'll get to see the difference we've already made in the world.
This may be a obvious question, but what is it about music that inspires us to be better? It prompts something in everybody, I think,
right.
Listening to music or participating, that's very, very difficult to identify. But can you
have a thought about that? Because we were always one part of the same group. We're all the human race. That we created all of our differences, so we need to create our connections. And music is a great way to just get to the human heart. It gets right to the senses with the aesthetic. And so what you can do is you can find a way to say what words fail, music speaks. Mm-hmm. Music is a great way for all of us to also realize we're not alone. Someone else has felt that same thing I'm feeling. You can use it to get over perseverance through pain and suffering, but also celebrate joy and everything in between. I said one time that we come together for birth and we come together for death. What brings us together in between is up to us. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, music is the best tool we have to celebrate our lives and, connect with each other on a deeper level.
That's great. That's great. What are you working on right now? Are you working on another
CD? Now we're working on PFC 3, so 12 new songs all around the world. As we evolve the project, so does technology. So when we started this thing, I was traveling around the world with golf cart batteries. So heavy, and everything was so difficult. And now it's, the camera quality's improved greatly, and the audio equipment. And so this is our best project ever. It's the highest quality, some of the greatest musicians. We went and started the project with a bunch of Aztec Indians named the Guardians of the New Fire in Metepec, Mexico. And started new songs there and have been traveling all around the world ever since then.
And where does the funding come from? I mean, obviously people, I'm assuming, can go to the website and find a way to participate, but are there other sources of funding as well?
Yeah, we're always looking for sponsorship and any kind of corporate partnerships. But at the same time, it's really an individually driven project. So individuals who believe that this should exist and has to exist and understand that the longer term is better than the shorter term. So, we just get individuals who believe in it and they support us. And then we also have the Playing for Change band, which was the next chapter. What happens when all these people from these videos actually meet live on the stage? And that, to me, has become the most powerful thing I've ever seen. Because when they come together, they have so much love for each other, and that connects with the audience, and together we build a world where we're going to make it as a human race. And so with this band, comes the opportunity for them to travel and to play, and we offset costs that way as well, by traveling with the band around the world and doing filming as we go.
So the band is actually made up of people that have been in the videos and been
in the CDs. Grandpa Elliot has played over 100 concerts with the Playing for Change band.
How old is he?
He's in his 70s.
Wow.
And he's a blind man on the streets in New Orleans. He's been playing there for over 60 years.
My gosh.
And now he's traveling the world, so it's an exciting time.
It's an amazing. I wanted to remind folks that they can get, obviously, more information about Playing for Change and a lot of the things that we've been talking about at the website, playingforchange.com. But you also mentioned the one for Playing for Change Day. That's a different website?
Right. That would be playingforchangeday.org.
Okay.
Or also pfcday.org. It'll also get you there.
Sounds good. Well, I really want to thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. But I have to ask you before you go, because I did watch today the Colbert Report interview, and that must be a little strange to be sitting there. I mean, the whole thing is kind of a gag anyway, but to have him try to get your message across when he's doing some of the stuff he's doing.
Yeah, I was definitely nervous, but he went easy on me, and also I had Grandpa Elliot with me.
Oh, that's right. He appeared.
Grandpa was my shield.
Well,
but I want to just thank you. This is giving me a chance to talk today. It's a real honor, And, you know, I love your program, and I want to thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And most particularly, thank you for playing for change. I do think it is making a difference in the world, and I'm grateful for that.
Right on. Thank you again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.